o'clock, I'll be handing over to Yael Banafu for Masterclass, the discussion on sales and how to build a winning sales team continues. It's on from 1:30 till 2:15, and I'll bounce back with the latter part of Ignition right here on Joy 99.7 FM. All right, so make sure you keep it dial locked on. Living You with Marsha Ambrosius. The song titled Old Times on Joy 99.7 FM.
Keep that frequency clear. 99.7.
Good afternoon to you, our cherished listeners. It's always indeed super, super exciting to come your way every Wednesday with your favorite business development program on Radio Masterclass. Masterclass is powered by Joy Business and brought to us by Goyle. Goyle, they say good energy, Goyle, Yenara, Yedia. Ninth day of September, gradually we're prodding on, and the year is coming to an end, like I always say. A few months and then we're here at election and also at Christmas. And it certainly does feel good to come your way again today, discussing on Masterclass some of the important topics that help our businesses to grow. Last week, if you joined us, we've moved on from the conversation of tax and we started the conversation on how to build a winning sales organization, or how to build a winning sales strategy, if you like. Last week, we spent time introducing the conversation, looking at the definitions of it. We'll do a bit of a quick recap before we continue. But today, we're joined in the studio again by a wonderful, wonderful resource person. I'll be sharing his resume as we go on in the show. But it's in the person of Mr. Mauli Oklu. And he's been sharing some thoughts with us today. We're going to be going on in the conversation, looking at the issue of sales recruitment, training, and coaching. Mauli, you're welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me again.
We're excited to have you here on the show. Last week, you shared some very profound insights with us. I was looking at your resume, and it's one of those resumes that I always say that when I grew up, I would like to be like you. So for anyone who's listening who has ambition for academia, Mauli is one of those persons. He's a founder and chief sales partner and sales management consultant of Salesmark Services Limited. He's also the executive director at the Professional Selling Academy, a division of Salesmark Services. He has over 25 years of sales and marketing. When you hear experience that goes beyond 15 years, 20 years, then you know that they've been there for a very long time. So they know what they're talking about. It's not only theories they're throwing at us, but they've seen it work. They've seen models put to work, and they've seen them. So experience also comes in here. He's also a writer. He's a creator and author of The Growth Selling System, co-author of the book Becoming a Sales Star.
Yeah, that was with Bob Hinson.
Right. He's also authored a sales management column in Sell Right in the graphic business. And he's also got a blog. That also helps people and shares information about Tills. Obviously, he's got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree as well. And Mauli, you're welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me again.
Enough about your resume. I could go on and on and on and on. But I'm super excited. Today, we want to get interactive a bit early in the show.
Okay.
So just, you know, by way of recap, just share a few thoughts with us. What we did last week. And then let's go straight into today's conversation so we can get interactive at some point.
Okay, so last week we laid the foundation for building a winning sales organization. So we talked about the issue regarding sales strategy, go-to-market strategy, as well as your sales force design. We indicated that it is important, first of all, to have your strategy, which is who you are selling to, what you are selling, and how you intend to sell. Because all that will also feed into your the kind of salespeople you recruit. We also talked about the kind of sales channels you'll be using, whether it's direct sales, you'll be using partners and distributors, or you'll be doing key account sales. All those require a specific type of resource. And then we also talked about how do you structure your sales force. Is it going to be field sales? Is it going to be inside sales? Now there's a hybrid. The hybrid being filled and then remote. In other words, people who used to have competencies for field sales now have to begin to think about how to get their skills in inside sales as well. So we looked at that and we said that that's the foundation for building a sales a winning sales organization. So today what I'm going to do is that I'm just going to help you answer one big question, and the question is, what can you do better at recruiting the right people, training them and coaching them so that your business will grow in terms of sales revenue as well as profitability? So that's the big question I seek to answer today.
Right.
To do that today, we'll look at the second of the what we call the sales effectiveness drivers, and that's what we call the shapers. So this is the component that actually helps define and shape your salespeople who are going to activate whatever plans that you have. So for starters today, I need to ask our audience a question. And once I ask, I have three questions. I'll ask those questions. If you can just send a WhatsApp responding to it, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
If you can do that as well, just reflect over the questions
right. That
I'm going to ask. So the first question is, how many of you out there feel with 100% certainty that your sales organization have the right people and skills to achieve your sales plan? 100% certainty. Well, reflect over it a minute. You can WhatsApp your percentage of certainty.
Yes.
Or if you are not sure, just WhatsApp, I'm not sure.
You can send your answers to that question and the next two questions to 0244340437. Answer that question for yourself.
Yes.
Mauli is saying today that do an introspection.
Yes, exactly.
How many of you as business owners or as entrepreneurs can say with 100% certainty that your sales organizations or sales teams have the best people and the best skills to achieve your sales plan?
Exactly.
Right.
Second question. Do you currently have salespeople who demonstrate excellent sales skills, have the necessary beliefs and sales DNA to win in today's market and into the future? So do you have your current salespeople, do they have the sales skills? Do they have the beliefs? And do they demonstrate the sales DNA that will help them thrive today and into the future? So that one, yes or no, or I'm not sure. All of them are still answers, right?
Deep, deep, deep questions, right. Searching questions.
So reflect upon that. Third question, how many hours does your sales organization spend coaching a sales person? How many hours does your sales organization spend coaching a sales person?
This is per month, right?
Yes, per month.
Per month.
Yes, okay. So either 1 to 2 hours a month, 3 to 5 hours a month, 0 hours a month, or you are not sure.
Yeah, not sure.
So all those are key. So reflect upon it. If you can send us what's up, that's fantastic.
I'm sure we'll get the answer. Yes, some answers right, coming through right. Before we get interactive. Yes,
so having said that, let's take a deep dive into the first of the three sales effective drivers we are looking at today. Actually, there are four. It's made up of sales recruitment, sales training, sales coaching, and compensation. But I've left compensation out because I believe that we can deal with that thoroughly in another session. So let's start with sales recruitment. Common mistakes that many do and what not to do. One, never use your gut feeling to decide on who you should recruit for a sales role. Very often, business owners or head of sales just hit it up with somebody at the interview. They build rapport. They seem to like the person, and they think that at the end of the session, they ask, "What do you think about?" "Oh, I think he can do it." And very often, that's gut feeling. It will hurt you ultimately. Two, recruiting under stress should be avoided. So you very often see advertising for positions and you see a salesperson needed urgently, immediately. That is a problem. Because in sales, in order to sell fast, you need to slow down.
Please say that again.
In order to sell fast, you need to slow down.
Okay.
It is simply because sales is a process. And you need to go through each process without skipping. And that takes time and it slows you down. But ultimately, once you have it done, then you are good to go.
Right.
Third mistake. No one can sell as better as me. You know, so at times sales managers, business owners think that, well, I can do so much. And they tend to want to see the same attitude or skill set or aptitude from the people they intend to recruit. That's wrong. Okay. Another mistake is that no one can sell better than an existing salesperson in the organization. The untouchables. You know, so, and that is a problem. The next one and the last one, mistakes. I want a sharp salesperson. And that's one, when I receive calls, can you get me a sharp salesperson? Who is a sharp salesperson? Or aggressive salesperson? Those are mistakes, which means that you are in a hurry. You haven't even defined what you want. Okay. So now, having said, taking the mistakes out of the way, let's look at how you'd want to recruit. I mean, the best practice I would recommend when it comes to sales. You need to look at it as a structured process. Usually, I would say that 10% of your process must, your recruitment process must look at whether the person is a fit with your organization. 10% a fit with your culture of your organization. And that's important. At times, there's an overkill there, right? But that shouldn't be the case. But the most important thing there is define your job description well and the kind of person you want for that role. Compensation and other things. That makes it clear the profile of person you want. So a good job description, which is within context, which is contextualized to your business. Usually people dub. You know, they see job description from another company and then they just copy, you know, but that might not be suitable for you. Second point is that spend about 30% doing a structured interview. or what I usually call behavioral interview. This will actually come from the CVs that you received, and those CVs will give you an idea whether the person is qualified or not. But that is not just enough. What I typically recommend is that when people say, for instance, I achieved X amount of sales in a year, I mean, we don't take it at face value. So that's where we can drill down, ask some leading indicators, KPIs, that will indicate what are their activities, what are their strategies, what did they do to achieve that? Because people can actually tell us things that they didn't achieve. Not only the sales, value they generated, but most importantly, how they got about, how did they do that? Okay. So then another 30% invest in assessment tools. You know that proverb by Chinua Achebe, it's in Chinua Achebe's book, Enike the Bird, said that since men have learned how to shoot without missing, he has also learned how to fly without
landing,
without perching.
right.
So these days, you see CVs that are well done. Awesome, right? People are going for interview coaching, how to attend interviews, etc. And I mean, they can actually impress you if you use that tool alone. That's where assessment.
So content.
The assessment tools, which is the science you bring to it, will flash out a lot of things. So, as they say in our local palace, whatever incredible you were served at the interview session can be validated or
otherwise.
When you use that. Mm. And when you use the assessment tools, there are three areas that we need to look at. And the assessment tool is useful. One, the will to sell. Because sales is not just about the person's competence. There are different, the will to sell, desire. Is the person responsible? Is the person coachable? Those are things you have to look out for. Is the person, competitive? Okay, those are some of the things that assessment tools will get you. Other things that assessment tools will get you will be the selling competencies that an individual requires to do the job well, which will include maybe prospecting skills, closing skills, presentation skills, relationship building skills. Those are also very useful. But the game changer in these assessment tools has to do with what we call the sales DNA. So someone will say, what do you mean by sales DNA? I mean, these are actually attributes of an individual that can actually sabotage or support their selling career. Okay, so the sales DNA include, one, your beliefs. The beliefs of a salesperson can hamper their growth and therefore hamper the growth of your sales organization. All right. Two, motivation. What is their why for working? You need to understand. Otherwise, it can derail your growth to become a winning sales organization. Skill set is also another one. Mindset. You know, you'll find in organizations, they say people should go for training and people are not interested. They are just interested in the lunch, but they won't study. I mean, so if the guy does not have a growth mindset, then it means that individual is not going to learn. And if it's an organization that requires constant learning to be competitive, then how do you expect that person to fit in? The other aspect of a sales DNA has got to do with, does the person have the ability to talk about money? Believe you me, there are people who find it difficult to talk about money. If you have somebody who doesn't have that ability to talk to money, you know what is going to happen to your deals? They cannot actually price properly. In other words, even if you come up with this pricing strategy, which is fantastic, they cannot articulate the price and are happy to discount. And they will come back and say, well, if you gave us an extra discount, we'll be able to sell. If you gave us an extra discount, we'll be able to sell. It's not about anything. The key is their attitude, their DNA with regards to money is a problem. Another one that you should look out for is, does the person have the need to be liked? Because in our job as sales, we need to ask questions and at times ask very tough questions. Questions that will grant us insight into the challenges, the pains, the frustrations of our prospective customers and existing customers. And at times, relationships, you know, wanting to be liked prevents us from asking those tough questions. A typical example, look, we are talking about this business. You are my friend. We have a good relationship. But are you sure this deal is going to go on? What will make this deal not go on? Just be plain to me, you know. So those are skills that are important. Those are competencies that are important. And if you don't find those competencies, it can actually hurt your business when you recruit the person. Then another 30% of your recruitment process should be used for reference checking. And usually one of the questions I ask them at interviews is that, okay, your claims of having sold X amount, are they verifiable? I mean, can I call and ask and this will be validated? You understand? And we take that for granted because it doesn't cost much. It's just an extra mile. So let's do that. So that's got to do with when it comes to recruitment. So once you've done that, of course, you need to train the people. Of course, once you've done that, train them based on their strength, because the beauty about the assessment tools as well gives you a direction as to what you have to train the person on, their weaknesses and their strengths. So you can train them on their strengths to make it further strong, right? And the weaknesses make them strong as well. So that is very important when it comes to recruitment. So we've looked at recruitment. Second, number two, sales training. Simply, knowledge and skill transfer. Okay, what are the common mistakes I see? One of sales training doesn't work. It doesn't work. One of sales training doesn't work. We treat sales training as an event, and sales is about behavior change, you know. So as time goes on, you need to reinforce those things that you've taught people, right? So one of it should rather be a process, okay, over a period of time. Two, off the shelf training hardly works. You heard me right. Off the shelf training hardly works unless it is systemized and contextualized. You know, what I mean is that there are some sales training solutions out there that are based on specific systems. So you have the spin selling, you have the solution selling, you have the conceptual selling. Those are frameworks that can help people systemize it to their jobs, to their organizations, and adapt it. So that also works. Okay. The next thing, mistake. Not all of your salespeople are trainable. Because one, they are in the wrong profession. And two, they don't have any business being on your sales team. So it doesn't matter how much training you invest in it. It won't work. Four, product knowledge training is what it is. It is not sales training. And motivation sessions are not sales training. They are just sessions to energize people, to get them to. So nobody should confuse the two, right? So having said that, giving you the mistakes I see, what is the new sales paradigm for today and going into the future, which will help you to become a winning sales organization. One, sales training has moved from what it used to be. So now, drip learning is important. Bite-sized learning, prescriptive learning. In other words, if from the point of view of the assessment, I need closing skills, just provide me closing skills in bite sizes. I call it minimum effective dosage. That's why when you go to the hospital, the doctor doesn't give you the medication. Says, well, I want you to take all at a go. For the medication to be effective, you need to give them the effective dose over a certain number of days.
Mm-hmm.
That is how the modern sales training should be done. So whatever a module it is can be broken down into bits, bite sizes, and then drip to people. The next one, engaging and entertaining, right? So now, what do we do? So explainer videos, animated videos can help people interact with their training. The next thing, social and mobile. Mobile learning has come to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Virtual learning has come to stay. So those who are say, well, we cannot understand or do virtual learning, you'll be left behind, okay? The next one is coaching and ongoing coaching, right? So here, there are platforms. You need to use the sales enablement tools, platforms that exist that you can do video role plays with your staff who are remotely and hold them accountable.
Mm.
And these platforms, for instance, can have all the salespeople doing their role plays and scenarios stuff, and peers will review. Okay, so those are very important changes in our training. And of course, coaching. Now, there are tools for managers to also coach and provide just-in-time training for people. So for instance, if I were going to meet a potential customer and I needed closing skills or how to overcome objections, now mobile applications can give us the opportunity to tap into that data, tap into that training module. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I'm ready to go. What to look out for. So that's how. So sales training has become agile
as everything else.
As everything else. All right. So the next point is that. So what kind of skills are needed? There are lots of here, but I'll touch on a few skills that I need. One, mindset. Include mindset training in every sales training that you're doing. So let me give you an example. If you are doing a negotiation selling skills, sales negotiation skills training, and you haven't done a mindset training, an individual whose sales DNA doesn't talk about price and can't talk about money, how do you think that person will perform? So that is very important. If the person is suffering from call reluctance, for instance, what do you need? You need to go deep and find out what causes that call reluctance. It was because probably when the person's individual was growing up, visiting friends, they were always rejected. What are you doing here at this time? Go home. Don't you have a home? 1, 2, 3 experiences, the person internalizes it and believes that I cannot actually go and knock at people's door because I fear I'll be rejected. So that's it. So you need mindset skills, negotiation skills, account management skills,
mm-hmm.
selling to executives, especially in the business-to-business environment where you have to get the decision up there. If you play at a lower level, your sales cycle will be long. So if it's supposed to take 3 months, it will take 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But if you engage at the higher level, you shorten your sales cycle. Mm-hmm. And it is a skill that we need to learn. Okay, digital marketing is important. Digital selling is important. Critical thinking, very important. And critical thinking requires listening and and questioning skills. That's also important. We need to take them. And one of my favorites, and I can give you a story about that, Microsoft Excel. Because if you are in sales, you should be able to model your own spreadsheets, you know. And that is one big area a lot of sales organizations are lagging behind. But we need data-driven decisions to make sure that our sales become, we become a winning organization.
Yeah.
Then let me take the last one, which is sales coaching.
Mm.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you heard a player manager win the English Premier League?
George, Ado Jr. will answer that question for me, but,
yes.
But you tell me.
That was the last time Liverpool won the English Premier League before
okay.
now.
Okay.
And that was Kenny Dalglish.
Mm.
He was a player manager. Since then, what happened? Chelsea tried with Luca Vialli,
mm-hmm.
player manager, Ruud Gullit. It didn't end anywhere. When did Chelsea become... Am I talking about Chelsea here?
No way. They forgive you.
I'm an Arsenal fan. That's why I'm saying...
I know.
Right. So, until they got Jose Mourinho, professional coach. So what am I driving at? Coaching is that one skill a sales organization requires to move their sales from ordinary to extraordinary.
Mm.
Okay. Because the training that you've given people, they need to master those behavior changes, those skills to achieve. And you can only do that through coaching. And the role of a sales manager or head of sales requires a lot of coaching and hand holding of their people.
On the job, holding their hand through.
On the job, right. But what do we see? We see a lot of sales managers actually selling and competing with their salespeople. Their job is to motivate them. So let me just share a few statistics with listeners regarding coaching. So there's a research by Objective Management Group. They've done assessment, by the last count, more than 10 million assessments of salespeople. And they found that sales organizations that gave their salespeople daily coaching, right, performed 30% more than the ordinary. And of course, I also have a friend in this country who works with a shipping line. Why are they so successful? Coaching. He spends most of his time coaching the people.
Right.
So basically, what do we mean by coaching? How to unlock the potential and maximize the growth of your salespeople.
I mean, that's so profound. That thought, you know, you just mentioned, but there's so much you shared with us today.
Yeah.
And I want us to practicalize it by getting interactive.
Okay.
We want to go to the phone lines and get interactive and get people to call in and share, because these are very straight to the point things you shared with us.
Yes.
You know, and you've shown us that selling is scientific. You know,
it's a science.
I'm so excited about that.
Yeah.
And I just want to sort of hear what my listeners have to.
Okay,
if you just tuned in,
awesome.
This is Masterclass here on the Superstation. We're spending time in the studio with Mr. Mauli Okulu, helping us to sell right, helping us to build a winning sales organization.
Yes.
We're going straight to the phone lines. Numbers to call 0302216541. Pick up that phone, give us a call. Let's be practical about how your sales organization
yes.
is working. He asked a number of questions. Do you think that your sales organization or your sales team 100% are doing the right thing and they have the right skills and they're able to do it? And he asked a number of questions, you know. So let's pick up that phone, give us a call, let's get interactive. Otherwise, you can also send us a comment on 0244-340-437. And we're talking here about sales. Pick up that phone, give us a call, 0302216541. Mauli, you've shared some very profound thoughts here.
Yeah.
About, for example, for me, straight to the point, I'm just going to go from the back to
yes.
the front. About what coaching is and,
yeah.
and what the job of a sales manager is.
Exactly.
You know, so like you said, a lot of sales managers today are competing with their sales teams.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to help these guys unlock their potential and their talent
exactly.
to maximize growth.
Yes.
So the people in your team, when they are successful, you are successful.
Exactly. That's
and
what it's
And there
about.
Was something you also talked about, which is the fact that I think it was on drip, which is something.
Yeah.
Drip learning.
Yeah.
So well, you find that learning, people in your team have different strengths.
Exactly.
And they have different. Okay, I think I've got a call. I've got Ni from Mamprubi. Let's talk to Ni. Good afternoon, Ni. Welcome to Masterclass.
Good afternoon.
Talk to me, Ni.
I have a challenge. My challenge has to do with the closing of sales.
Right.
Your guest rightly said you need closing skills.
Mm.
In this COVID period,
yes.
You realize that you are not able to get through to executives and senior management. What ways is he going to propose that you'll be able to maximize or close more deals, considering the fact that you still have targets to meet?
Right.
And okay. Like he said, a lot of sales managers are now not into more coaching or more into the development of the person. They are more into the deals themselves. Because if the deals are not doing, if they are not closing more deals, it means that they are not properly doing what they need to do.
Yes.
So what is he going to say? What ways is he going to propound, or which formula is he going to suggest that we can use to close and be more efficient and effective? Thank you.
Thank you, Ni. That's Ni from Mamprubi. Let's talk to Robert. Robert is from Brongahafo. Good afternoon, Robert. You're welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, boss.
Talk to me,
How
Robert.
Are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you, my brother.
Great. I think we can just have enough of Masterclass. I wish you could leave us a link each time you host somebody so we can connect and learn more further.
Right, right. I'm sure that my producers are listening, so we will take that.
But I'm asking two salient questions.
Please
here.
Go ahead.
When you are about to close a deal, okay, let's say you pursued this deal and finally had it to close. You meet the customer and the customer still wants to stretch you on the negotiation table.
Mm.
Now, this usually will make you maybe say things that actually will put you on the line. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some promises that you may not be able to honor at the end
to
of the
keep.
Day.
Yeah.
You understand? Now, how should a salesperson how should a salesperson handle a situation like that? Secondly, that is to say, if a sales manager, do not put a total supervision on you, the salesperson, you know that per the number of deals you close, you are paid. So your account, or for you to be paid, danger you to do more. You understand? In this case, how do you monitor yourself? How do you supervise yourself to be able to do more?
Right. Thank you so much, Robert. These are very wonderful questions. He wants to know, what do you do when you're at the table and you're being stretched and you're on the verge of, making promises you can't keep? And then he talks about monitoring also. Okay. We got those questions down, did we?
Yes, I
did. I've got James from Nungwa. Let's talk to James and then we'll answer all three together. Good afternoon, James. You're welcome to Masterclass.
Yeah, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, James. Talk to me.
Yeah, please.
James, I think you've got your radio on. If you could just move away from your radio or turn it off completely and just speak to me through the phone.
Yeah, is it better?
Yes, it's better, James. Talk to me.
Yeah, I'm a young business boy. I just started a business before the call. What can you help me as a supporter? I just started, but I don't have a supporter to support me.
Right.
So that I can move.
Okay. All right then. Okay, please keep listening. We'll try and answer that. He needs a bit of help, probably advice on what to do. We've got a few minutes. Let's see if we can just run through those questions very quickly.
Okay, so let me take Robert's own. I'll take the issue regarding supervision.
Right.
All right.
If we can do all of this in 3 minutes.
Well, I'll try.
Okay.
So, Robert, supervision. Yeah. I mean, first of all, at times it's too late in the day to solve some of these problems.
Mm.
Because if the person has to be self-disciplined, then one of the things that you should have done earlier on was to have recruited somebody, right, who could work without supervision. Mm-hmm. But having said that, that's the role of the sales coach, because he knows that that person cannot do it on their own. The sales manager needs to handhold them and encourage them,
mm-hmm.
and have daily sessions with them, coaching sessions, and direct them. So that's how I can answer that. The second one regarding Robert is that at times when it gets to that point, it means that we have not been able to sell value. Value. Or it is possible that we are not even talking to the right person or identify what the actual value we are.
Either we're not selling value or they don't understand the value.
Which means we have not been able to articulate the value very well. And it is one of the biggest problems in sales. Yes, so that is when you get stuck. So you need to take a step back and begin to do your discovery again. Ask questions to actually distill out, flash out what did you miss before you can, because the person may have indicated ahead that budget is a problem. So if you had asked those budget questions earlier, then that could have shaped your offering. So that's
the way you presented it.
Need for closing skills. My thing about closing skills is that the way to close better is to select the ideal customer at the prospect at the beginning of your sales process. So if you were selling Mercedes-Benz and you came to me, for instance, today, and says that I should pay for a brand new Mac.
I like the way you said Mac.
Yes. then you haven't done a great job by profiling me. Am I in the market for Mac? Does it meet my profile? You understand? Do I have the resource to buy a Mac now? You understand? So at times, we go and fish for quails in a pond.
You know, I'll just add quickly to that. There's a salesperson I worked with who sells a very high-value product.
Yes.
And you must understand your product and the market to which you're selling. Yes. Not everybody can afford your product. So you know what he does? He goes to the tabloids and he looks out for new appointments of CEOs.
Exactly.
And he's researched to know that institutions always buy a new company vehicle for the new CEO.
Exactly.
And he knows it's not coming from the CEO's pocket. So the moment the announcement is made, the next day he's in the office with a proposal telling you, I can do you a discount of X amount.
Exactly.
Now, the CEOs are always laughing and say, how did you know?
Exactly.
And in the end, there's always a sale. So you are so right about that.
So it starts from the beginning. Get your ideal customer profile right. Once you get them, qualify them. Qualify, and disqualify them. If you qualify them, do they have the resource? Do they have the need? How soon are they going to buy? Is that what appeals to them? What is important to them in a car they want to buy, or what
you
they
know,
want to that? So once you do that, so a lot of the heavy lifting is done up front.
Precisely.
But we don't want to do that. So we go and we have this, it's nice, it's being sold for X amount here, and we just talk.
You know,
so it makes closing very difficult.
Sharing all of these thoughts, you've made sales so simple. And if you are listening to us today, you're a salesperson, you're already in that job. Let's reorient our thinking and our thought process. What I've picked up from what you shared today essentially is that before you go out there and start talking, the work is done in your preparation.
Exactly.
And there's a scientific process about it.
Exactly.
Who are you selling to?
Exactly.
Do they need your product?
Exactly.
Can they afford your product?
Yes.
Do you understand the value you are selling yourself?
Exactly.
Do they understand the value?
Exactly.
Is it a fair price?
Exactly.
You know, all of those questions, so that by the time you go and you are selling, you are confident. Why is it that some people are confident and others are not?
Yeah, because if you follow the process, the process will work for you. So
right.
The process is identify the right profile of customer, speak to them, qualify them, ask those difficult questions to find out whether they can afford it, whether it's a need. If it's a need, is it a pressing need or is just I would like to have or agents?
I've got Ekuya Sefako on Facebook. Ekuya says sales is a daily motivation. It must be practiced daily and move everywhere with a salesperson. Thank you so much for this. So just in 30 seconds, what's our takeout for today? I'd like you to stress on the interview bit and the recruitment, where you said that there should be a structured interview, there should be an assessment process, there should be, you know, there's a science about it.
It's
not just your gut feeling. In 30 seconds, if you can.
Well, in 30 seconds, if you don't do that and you recruit the person, you're going to lose money. I know people who have lost money simply because they didn't use that process. They are in a hurry. But remember that to sell faster, you need to move
cautiously and scientifically.
Yes, exactly. You need to slow down in order to accelerate.
Right. Thank you so much. Next week, we'll continue this conversation. Yes. We're going to be talking about sales enablement.
Yes.
But today's show has been brought to us by Goyle. Goyle's new super synthetic 5W20 and 5W30 lubes are the best engine oils for all vehicles. They are specially engineered engine oils, which efficiently work on all our modern petrol and diesel engines. They clean, they protect, they